This is CliffCentral.com.
Beep 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 beep.
Please be aware that this show contains crude and foul language. If you are sensitive to topics like science or religion, we cordially invite you to please fuck off now. Thank you.
It's always a pleasure to be here with you on a Friday, just barely past 11:24, it says here. So that means it's 2 minutes past 11. Isn't that just fantastic? And we are listening in the background to something I heard on the radio on my way in today. I was listening to, I think, the classic, I'm not sure. Let me find out from Rian. Good morning, Rian.
Good morning, Gosford.
Are you well?
I'm very well. How are you?
I am so happy to be here. What is that station on the radio with classical music? Classic FM?
Yes, Classic FM.
Does this make sense? Why is it? Anyway, so they had Okie Vermeulen on this morning on Classic FM. Okie, I'm not quite sure who he's from, but he's Afrikaans. And Okie speel nou die popmusiek op a pipe orgel.
Wow.
Can you hear this one, what it is?
Yes. Is it Queen?
Yeah. Which one?
Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yes. But my pulls that trigger and he's dead. And Okie can be heard on iTunes. I got it on iTunes because he said, the guy said,
Where can we get your music people phone in? And they want to know where they can buy your stuff.
And the Okie said, well, I don't have actually got CDs out, but people can go to the iTunes and there they can download it.
Oh.
And he said,
it's fun. It's fun to, with, he plays with pop.
And Okie said, yeah, eigenlijk bedoel ik het ernstig. I really love big organs. Let me tell you, he's got more tracks here. St. Elmo's Fire, Zadok's Hallelujah. What is Zadok's Hallelujah?
I don't know.
Oh, God, there you go. Sorry, man.
All good.
Concert in A, Carol of the Bells, Vendetta. Is that, you think, the movie? White a Shade of Pale. Oh, yeah, that was then. How does that go again, White a Shade of Pale? Okay, hoe gaan dit nou weer? Okie, maar ek ken dit. Maar Okie nou nie. Maar het... Ek het 'n kat wat laat aan so maak. O, daar sê, daar sê dit. Na 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 na. Ja, dis my te shine op my. Na na. Hoe gaan my aan met jou hier in regse die goeie Here. Okkie. Okkie. Okkie, kom ek sal jou aan nik. As it clings as a plot, what spiel? There's something in our connection today. It's crackly. But it actually gives a good feeling to this song. I don't know what it will do to the rest. So just because I listened to old Oki on the way here, he got all this. Donkey Oki! What did you do this week, Rian? What did you do?
I was...
praat maar.
Ek was bietjie in Brits gewees hierdie week, so ek was bietjie so 'n paar daggies weg gewees.
Waar's Brits?
Ja, Brits is daar in die Noordwes. Is ver. Nee, is daarom nie so ver nie. Maar die pads en toe is so sleg.
Ja, ken Brits, die woord Brits.
Dis daar na, net na Harties.
O, daar, ja.
Ja, net as jy by Harties verby
is. Het jy daar opgetree?
Nee, nee, dit was my ouma se 85th birthday.
O. Oh.
So ek het die familie ding gaan doen vir 'n paar dae.
Dis goed dat jy dit gedoen het. 85 is baie, hoor.
Ek moes, ja, ja, nee, dit is baie.
Ag, shame. En sê my, wie kom vandag dans?
Vandag het ons, ja, dis nou baie interessant. Ons het 'n hip-hop style, 'n dance fusion. En die dansers se naam, ek weet, ons gaan saam hierdie ding sien. Ek het nog nooit hiervan gehoor nie.
Ja.
Dis 'n dance hip-hop fusion. En dit is Kimmy en Boulevard Stanza is sy stage name.
Is Kimmy Boulevard Stanza of is Kimmy iemand anders?
Ek het eers gedink dis dieselfde persoon, maar dis twee verskillende mense.
O, Kimmy is een ou?
Ja, die dame is Kimmy.
Die dame is Kimmy?
Ja.
Kimmy, a man after midnight. En dan het ons vir Boulevard Stanza.
Ja, interessante stage name.
Dis a stage name, hy is so gebore nie.
Hy het klaar besluit Boulevard is waar hy moet wees.
Boulevard, ja. Sy ouers nou die Stanzas. Kom ons noem hom Boulevard.
Ja.
Nee, die kind gaan dit nooit oorleef nie, hulle allemaal gaan hom spot. Boulevard Stanza, okay, so he chose that name. En hulle dans wat?
A hip-hop dance fusion. So, hip-hop specialiseer ek in, maar ek weet nie wat die fusion is nie, so, maar ek dink dis deel van die verrassing.
Ek dink ons special guest vandag is mal oor hip-hop, dis John Flismus.
Oh, wow!
He's coming in a bit later. He's now doing a show at the Monte Casino.
Oh, cool. Het jy al klaar gaan kyk?
Ek het dit gesien in die groter venue, ek wil dit verskriklik graag sien in die Monte Casino, wat 'n bietjie meer intiem is, because it sal baie interessant wees om hom van nader te sien. Jy weet, want sy show, sy laaste shows is baie spectacular, met moves, screens en goeders, en nou is het meer into what he is saying. Oh. So nee, ek het nog nie hierdie version gesien nie, ek het die show al gesien, ek sal baie graag wil.
Is dit nie saam met Skalk? Ek het gesien daar's
nee.
Is hulle nie saam by Monty nie, want ek het iemand gehad vir my gesê, hulle is by Monty en hulle het nou vir Skalk gesien, hy was daar, nou weet ek nie of John ook daar was nie.
Nee, ek weet, Skalk het seker iets gaan kyk.
O.
Dalk het Skalk die show gaan kyk.
O, dis kan ook wees, ja.
Ja.
O, maar dis groot. In die groot theater?
In die studio.
O, in die studio, okay.
Wat is die jongse naam? Relevations.
Yes.
The Good Racist. Relevations to The Good Racist. Ons sal daar oor praat met hom, maar ek dink hy hou van hip-hop. So, let's see, maybe hopefully he arrives before they start dancing.
Ja. Well, hy lyk nogals as 'n hip-hop artist baie keer.
Ja, want hy sê... Ek het hom gevra vir sy Golden Oldie en dit is 'n punk hip-hop kind of a band. So ek dink hy like dit. En weet jy wat is daai Afrikaanse groep wat hy gebruik? Ag fok, wat is hulle naam? Die Baanbrekers of something. Voor sy show. Ek dink dit is ook hip-hopperig.
O, nee, ek ken hulle nie.
Maar ek sê nou verkeerde naam. Wat is hulle naam? Ag, John sal alles vertel.
Awesome.
Sien, ek kan nie onthou nie. Ek wil vir jou sê, Rian, dat die mango strike is verby.
O.
So nou kan jy weer vlieg.
Oh, cool.
Ja.
Amper dog ek kan nie meer mangoes eet nie.
Nee, die mangoes is nog suiwer, maar die strike is verby. Ek was hierdie week in Pick n Pay. Ek moet sê dat het gelijk of hulle op strike is. Ja. Want ek weet nie of dit net een Pick n Pay ding is nie. Maar allemaal het so de moer in gelijk.
Ek het dan Brits jou tweet gesien.
Het jy gesien?
Toe besef ek iets het by Pick n Pay nie lekker geloop nie.
Yes, my stap in. En het lyk of jy mense wat daar werk, maar deur die bank, is ongelukkig, bored, wil nie eindelijk hierdie werk doen nie. En dan soos mense nou af, en ek het nou van aisle tot aisle gestap, en wat ek nou gekyk, wat is dit nou wat ek voor honger is? Het is altyd baie verkeerd, om op honger maagie te shop. Maar anyway, so ek stap op en af daar, en soos ek gaan net ek hulp nodig, die mense, ek moet hulle wegtrek van hulle fucking stoeltjies af daar voor die aisles, waar hulle sit en kyk na is botteltjie stroop en kyk na ander botteltjie stroop. En dit is wat fucking gebeur. Dan tok, 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 sorry, kan jy help me? Want daar was goed wat te hoog was vir my. Op die rakke bedoel ek. En toe sê, kan jy help me, get them down?
Rarig.
Ek sê, ja, en ek, hy geef my alles. Ek sê, thank you. Niks. Hy sê nie, pleasure, or fuck you, or niks. Nee, so I thought, no, it's not against anyone, it's just, they are not happy.
Ja.
So het besluit ek gaan vir Pick n Pay tweet. Het sê, julle mense is nie happy nie, vat hulle op een fucking vakantiekie na Brits toe, laat hulle op die Hartebeespoortdam ry, or some team building thing.
Op die Groendam.
Op die Groendam, dat hulle help daar, miskien met die parasiete moles, wat is
ja.
Goed wat daar groei, but something for team building, because it's not happening.
Wel Kasper, ek het gesien by ons spaar, is die mense ook baie bedroevig, en ja. Ek wonder op betek hier, maar in die geval is dit die ou Griekse baas, wat nou amper so die dictator is,
ja.
So ek weet nie of dit betek hier die management is, wat ja. Nie lekker die staf hanteer nie, of reg manage nie, om productief te wees.
Weet jy, John genoem dit nou, ek dink nou net aan, in The Good Racist, hy sê, as ek nou reg onthou, ek gaan hom weer vra, hy sê iets soos, ja, jy is kwaad as iemand nie vir jou groet by die til nie, wat ek nou precies was, but you don't know what's happening at their homes, and blah, 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 which I completely understand as well. Maar ek dink moenie jou probleme vir ek werk toe bring
ja,
nie.
Ja.
In vandagse tyd nie, meer nie, moenie.
Imagine jy bring of ons almal sit hier te kwaad.
Ja, nou is ek kwaad.
Hallo ja, Kasper. Ja,
exactly.
Moet ons nou rarig die dans ding doen.
Ja, as ons nou môre mense, moet ons aangaan met die lewe. Klink soos 'n selfmoordkanaal. Morning to Suicide Channel.
Yeah, the real Suicide Squad.
Yeah. Goeiemorgen. Oh, God. If you live within the next hour, welcome.
Just do it.
Otherwise, we're going to tell you how to do it. We got lots of people. We got Professor Ramari van der Westhuizen, who's going to tell us how to kill yourself with a razor blade.
It'll be on the cusp of fan page later.
Yeah,
video.
We'll show you if you're still alive.
Yeah.
Ja, maar het kan nie so die lewe
nee,
gaan nie.
Nee, glad nie.
En deel van shopping is dat jou shopper crew, staff, moet vriendelik wees.
Ja.
Dit help nie, hulle is kwaad. Hoe gaan dit nou in Disney World lyk, as Mickey sê, fuck off! I don't want it to stand here.
Ja.
Nee. Anyway, John will have the perfect answers for this.
Het hulle jou toegewacht teruggetweet? Het hulle
ja, gesê? Ja, ja, no, they were concerned.
Oor.
Immediately I got a tweet.
Oh, wow.
And then I tweeted them back and I said, listen, the problem was, I was not expecting the onuitvoerbare ding, het ek nie verwacht nie. Ek het net verwacht basic courtesy en miskien was dit net 'n bad dag vir daai mense, skryf ek toe. Toe skryf hulle weer terug, can we contact you in future? Toe sê ek, ja, I will explain to you what happened. So, I'm just not a moaner. It really concerned me because it reflected the country.
Ja.
I felt it reflected the country. That everyone is fucked. And not, they don't want to do this anymore. It's like,
om te tweet daar oor, wys het jou rarig, hoe crappy was dit?
Exactly.
Dan moet jy weet.
Ek was bekommerd.
Dis crazy. Het jy gesien wat die lughawe gebeur het? Nou, kom ons praat nou oor iets happy. By die lughawe het 'n klein seentjie na 'n polisiekar toe gegaan. Toe wil hy nou graag by die metro polisiekar inklim. En toe die ma nou eers nee gesê, toe sê die metro cops nie eens reg. Sit hom in die kar, sit die alarm sirenes aan en hy het foto's saam met al die polisie geneem. Hulle het sy dag gemaak, hy klein seentjie.
Dis oulik.
Ja, so daar's daarom weer 'n positiewe een. Kom ons balanseer hom uit.
Dis goed, maar nou kan ek jou weer teruggooi met 'n ander een.
Okay.
Nou is daar hierdie gang wars aan die gang in die Kaap. Hulle het nou sommer in die lughawe ingehardloop en begin skiet daar. Nou die dag, hierdie week sometime.
O, God, ek het dit gemis.
Ek weet nie of jy gelees het in Stellenbosch was daar dood. Yeah. By 'n klap nie, ook 'n gang war. En toe die onskuldige vrou is daar raak geskiet, doodgeskiet, en toe in retaliation vir dit dink hulle is die lughawe skieterreine gewees by in die Kaap.
Ag nee.
Kan jy believe
dat? Ons toerisme kry so slegte naam.
Ja, en ek hoop nie daai seentjie is gewond toe hy daar in die kar gesit het nie. Nee, grappie. Oh. Imagine. Nee, hulle skiet sommer op die fucking lughawe nou.
Ja,
they ran into the airport, so it's not as if they went through security. They ran into the airport and started shooting there.
Maar Kasper, jy gesien hoe baie polisiemanne is by die lughawe nou, veral na die Carte Blanche storie van die kriminele wat mense agtervolg.
Was daar so 'n storie?
Ja, baie.
Ek kyk nie Carte Blanche want ek is nie deel van die Suicide Squad nie. Vertel vir my van Carte Blanche.
Ja, nee. So hulle het 'n storie gemaak oor mense wat hierdie kriminele wag in karre by die lughawe.
Ja?
En dan is mense nou met busse kom wat hulle kan sien as toeriste dan volg hulle na die guest house toe en dan hijack hulle daar met al hulle currencies, paspoorte.
Fuck.
Wat hierdie week weer gebeur. So toe ons minister van die polisie gesê, wat sê nou?
Ek dink hy het gechange, Danny.
Ja.
Dat was 'n skommeling.
Ja, ja. Toe het hy gesê, hier is 'n ding wat hy nie voor gaan staan nie. So toe ek by die lughawe was dit gelyk of die army daar is.
Maar dit is nie reg nie.
Ja, nee.
Maar dit is nou 'n... Dis nice dat hy so reageer, maar dit is nou 'n tydelike antwoord seker op die probleem. Jy kan nie die hele tyd die hele fucking polisie by die lughawe hê nie.
Ja.
But okay, so they follow the buses to the hotels or guest houses.
Ja. In die begin van jou vakansie, jy vlieg. Dis shocking.
We're going to South Africa en dan fuck het jy niks.
Ja, welcome to South Africa.
Welcome here. Oh my goodness. I didn't know about it. Also, ek sal interessant wees om te weet of daai polisie minister nog deel van die polisie is, want ek, soos ek jou sê, die kabinet het geskommel.
Ja, ja. Alweer.
Jacob Zuma het geskommel. So, ek weet nie wie's waar nie. But I do hope they are... The thing is, once he goes, the president goes, I think things will be better as well, because then we will get new... wind, so pardon the expression, that will obviously always follow with a new president.
Mm.
So hopefully then a lot of things that confuse and anger us can change. Like, for instance, also the total lawlessness of the taxis.
Mm, yes.
I mean, they just, if you're going to stop them now, there's going to be a riot. As hulle oor 'n rooi rooi ry of in die fucking middel van die, in die gras in die middel van 'n highway rydag, they just do it now. Mm. So hopefully with a new dispensation, a new government, this will stop as well.
Kasper, ek het actually een van hulle gevra, in 'n mooi manier, hoor, jy sê vir my, hoekom ry hulle so?
Yeah.
Toe sê vir my regheid in 'n kalme manier, hy het 'n sekerheid hoeveelheid ure wat hy moet werk. Hy moet van daai geld vir die groot baas gee. Dis soos 'n ek wil nie sê syndikaat nie, maar dit is soos 'n
so die taxi is nie sy eie nie.
Nee, hy werk vir iemand. So hy het net 'n sekere hoeveelheid ure en toe sê hy vir my en daai ure gaan hy doen wat hy moet doen om die geld te maak wat hy moet.
Oh.
En dis hoe hulle voel.
So die fucking law.
Ja.
A fucking reels.
So dis sien dis weer so pick and pay ding en kom alles van bo af.
Ja. Ek verstaan. So nou come hell or high water, he will now make his money.
Ja, en hy het gesê hy gaan aanhou dit doen.
Hy moet nie, ek dink dit is baie goed nie. Maar hopelik met 'n nuwe polisiediens, 'n nuwe minister, nuwe reëls, obviously met 'n nuwe regering, dit is wat ons nou absoluut voor hoop, the corruption will be fought.
Ja, ek
is almal is lekker korrupt.
So een oog gekyk toe ek nou in Brits was, het ek gesien die klagtes het nou van hoeveel 270 na hoeveel toe gegaan 80 of 18. 18, ekskuus.
18 wat?
Klagtes teen ons president.
Nee, dis 88.
O, 88. O, okay.
Jy bedoel Jy bedoel, ja. Die hof het nou die dag omgedraai dat hy kan aangekla word of vir sy corruption charges. Dis wat jy bedoel,
ja, nie? Ja, dis hy.
Yes, ja. Nee, dis baie. Dis baie. Ek dink hy nip 'n bietjie.
Dat het depressief is.
Ja, dat het depressief is. Ek het, as kind, was ek mal oor Umberto Tozzi. En mense sal hom ken dalk van sy song Gloria, wat iemand anders gesing het. Was dit Laura Branigan?
Mm-hmm.
Ja, maar dit is actually sy song, Gloria. Oh. Ja. En Ti Amo is ook sy song. Is dit nie ook Laura Branigan nie? Ti Amo, na 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 na, Amo.
Ek is nie seker nie.
Anyway. Hierdie ontdek ek toe nou die dag tot my vreug, terwyl ek tuin nat maak met 'n tuinslang. En dan het ek sulke wireless headphones op wat met Bluetooth speel op my foon, en dan kan ek lekker tuin met nou nat maak. Toe ontdek ek Umberto Tozzi. Ek hoop julle geniet, dit is beautiful. En dit is so half mellow in die lijm van Pick and Pay in Texas. Forse solo amico mio, forse credo in Dio, forse solo amico mio, salva questo mondo perché ti richiamerò, prendimi anche il letto, tanto è tutto quel che ho. My favorite type musiekstyle dit.
Dis cool.
Italiaanse ballads.
Your diversity is amazing as it comes by musiek.
Ek weet, ek like all kinds, maar hierdie is wel wat sweep jou so in 'n melancholiese mood in. En die net Italianers kan dit goed doen, ja.
Dis lekker om tuinslang vas te hou en hierdie musiek te
luister. Ah, jong, ek het daai tuinslang het sommer begin reg op staan. Dit was baie baie lekker. Dankie Umberto Tozzi, we love you. Ag, dis een van my drome om hom eendag live nog te sien. Maar Rian, jy weet, ek het 'n paar, dis 'n week gelede of 2 weke gelede het ek gedoen Famous Last Words van yes. Comedy Central.
Yes. Ek het gister gekyk, die catch-up.
Ek het nog nie gekyk nie.
Awesome.
Wat jy gekyk? Daai. Okay, ek het dit nog nie gekyk nie. Fok. Maar ek kan nie, want ek het nie die TV nie, maar ek sal dit sien op stadion. But anyway, so ek rekord toe die week die song, want dat ek hom net kan hee as 'n voorbeeld, want ek het,
cool.
Ja, en ek rekord hom, en waarachtig, aan die einde van die dag, gebeurde toe so, dat dit gedelete is.
Och nee, toch ons gaan hom nou hoor.
Van die hele fucking systeem af.
Nee, Kasper.
Kan jy dit nou glo, man?
Nee, man.
Yes, ek was te bliksem, man. Toe, gister, toe dacht ek, okay, toe hardloop ek oor na my buurman toe, want hy het die studio, Mike Meiring, wat is hulle naam? Ek gaan nou hulle naam vir jou gee. En,
Meiring, toe, George?
Nee, Mike Meiring, maar hulle studio naam is a Highway Jam, denk ek. But anyway, So I said, ach Mike, ek wil net hierdie ding opneem, ek wil dit môre graag speel op die show, want anders weet ek, nou raak het 'n bietjie te laat, as mens nou, kyk, volgende week is ek nie hier nie.
Okay.
Ek is in Bloemfontein.
Oh, ja.
Bloemfontein, as jylle luister, as jylle lewe nog onthou, die Aswell Club, volgende week, ek is daar, en die aand na my is Rian, wat the fuck is sy naam van Jacaranda? Rian van Heerden.
Van
Heerden. Rian van Heerden, met een A. Maar, jy kan kies. So, toe neem ek het gauw op, en ek mix dit toe self, vinnig by my eie huis. So ek moet vir julle sê, ek het dus die kopie hier, maar dit is nou my mix.
Ok.
En dan ek het 3 recordie vocals, by 'n ander plek, by Mike's plek, sy studio, en ek het dit gaan mix, my ma die nommer gemeng, as mense geluister het na een van my eerste CD's, was het voor vrou Visser wat het gesê, jy weet, ek het opgeneem en my ma die nommer gemeng. en dit is dus, he's he fit. Nou, in die show, is my, sê, proverb vir my, wat wil jou naam, moet jou naam wees, as 'n rapper, dan sê ek, Puff Adder, want ek dink aan Puff Daddy, Puff Adder, het hulle dit gewys, het hulle,
ja.
Okay. en toe sê, what's your famous last words, want dit is deel van die show, was die title, famous last words, en toe sê ek, okay, Yeezy Fit sal type wees, Puff Adder, sy famous last words, en dit is toe nou die rap, maar ek gaan hom nou speel, by die huis gemeng, ons kan hom in verskillende versions nog hoor, denk ek, maar this just so you get the gist.
Yes.
Just so you get the gist of it. It was fantastic. It was famous last word. Yo, girl. So I got to learn to rap from this buffy old chap. His last words flowed and I do as I'm told. Proverb, oh ho, oh ho. Proverb, oh ho, oh ho. Proverb, a pro with a verb. Yeah, easy fit, uh-huh, yeah. Easy fit, yeah. Easy fit, oh. A bitch inside a nerd. Camel, let's go.
Thomas, hier kom ons.
Weet jy wat, ek wil 'n fucking rap CD uitbring.
Ja, mense sal mal wees daaroor.
Ja, want ek love it.
Jy kan al jou karakters gebruik.
Exactly. Dit kan 'n purpose vir hulle wees, en ek kan hulle allemaal gebruik, en ek love hierdie mixerij van sound effects en klanke en
ja, dit is baie goed gedoen. Ja. Ek dink die mense, Kasper, moet ons laat weet, die WhatsApp lyn, hoe goed dit is, dis op 079-748-2090. Doen dit nog een keer, 079-748-2090. 90.
But remember, we always have those who can't understand Afrikaans.
We're not going to read them.
Well, let's read it.
Okay.
079-748-2090. 2090.
Ek het 'n bietjie geraas. Dit is al ietsie
daar. Nothing. It's Aber. Ja. Sorry, I'm so quiet. We got a message from Aber, and he says we must have a good weekend. And I'm not sure if he's listening.
Oh, thank you.
But thanks, Aber.
Yes, and back at ya.
Ek waardeer dit baie. Dit is baie gaaf van jou. Ek het gelees dat in 2019, so I'm a bit ill, I've got aches and kak, but I'm going to try and live until 2019. Ek hou vas aan die draaike, because then ABBA will tour Hologrammery.
What?
Hologram. Hi. So they have a show anywhere in the world, but it's got to have specifications by this management that presents it. They recorded and tweaked and photoshopped ABBA, the four members, as hologramme.
Oh.
You know, in their heyday. So it's not now. They're not going to be 70 with a walking frame. It's like an fucking the hip surgery queen or the walking queen, not dancing queen. But and then they're going to have a live band, live backing vocalists, and then ABBA will be projected 3D on stage.
Wow.
So you can watch them from the back and from the front, and they'll be moving up and down there.
I've seen that twice. But I saw that the one Grammys, it was for Elvis and Celine Dion. It was Elvis the hologram.
Yeah.
And in the movie...
It's also a whip, yeah. Elvis is live. Yeah, Celine is the hologram. Was the lie. Hologram.
Wow. Pluk your name now.
Yeah.
And then the tweede keer was now in Blade Runner geweest. Wat hulle in die movie Blade Runner is Elvis is daar deel wat Harrison Ford hulle beklei en dis Elvis ook die hologram hopelik.
Ja, dit was Elvis. Ja. Daar is dis 'n fantastiese scene daar. Ja, maar nou is hulle volwaardig op die stage. Ek het al gesien hulle het 'n stukkie gedoen met Robin Williams as dit hy comedy doen en Michael Jackson het ook al verskyn.
Oh, regtig?
By 'n award ceremony as 'n hologram.
Oh my word.
Maar nou is dit 'n hele konsert wat jy daar gaan sit en mense sal moet sien of dit die magic gaan hou vir so lank, maar nou, dit is eerst 2019, maar mense sluip al, ek is so groot ABBA fan, ek sal het definitief gaan kyk.
Ja.
Wherever it is, seker 10-10 in Royal Albert Hall of so daar, sal het seker wees, maar dit is oulik dat die band live is.
Ja.
Dat daar is lewe op die verhoog, dit is net ABBA self, is dan nou in hulle better days, 1979-1980-ish is hulle dan.
So dit gaan seker nou maar neeropkom op die kwaliteit van die hologram in terme van hoe jy dit gaan geniet.
En ek dink hulle werk baie harder aan nou al, dis waarom ek dink dit gaan dalk werk.
Ja, ons is nou op 'n stage wat nou hologram sal gebruik word vir concerts.
Ja, dis amazing.
Dis regtig fantasties. Jy kan dit een van die dae doen.
Hulle moet my fucking opneem vir die nageslag, dat hulle vir my... Dat ek kan shows open, dan kan ek sê, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome on stage Celine Dion. En dan is ek 'n hologram.
Casper the Ghost.
Casper the very, very friendly ghost. Wil jy nie vir my guns doen en hy fucking vensters oopmaak, okay. Maar ek kry warm. Ek voel bedompig en ek weet nie of hierdie air conditioning wil werk nie. Mode is cool, dry, no, heat, cool, on. Ek hoor nie 'n fucking ding nie. Anyway, nou is die vensters oop. Maar kyk 'n bietjie wat jy kan doen daar, Rian. So, hopefully, in 2 years' time, we will have ABBA watching themselves on stage. Because the real ABBAs are all alive still, remember? Ons het vir Agneta, blonde eniekie. Sy is die malste van hulle allemaal. Dan het ons vir amper soek Alfrida, dit is my hoentjie, maar Alfrida is vernoem na Frida, Annie Fried, sy is okay, sy is fine, sy was getrouwd met 'n royal guy, ek dink hy is dood, maar nou het sy al die geld, en die prestige, en dan, of course, die man het net nooit teruggekyk, nog nie, hulle allemaal lewe nog, so imagine, they sit watching themselves in 2019, I would like to be there.
Ja, imagine, het was eerst Mamma Mia wat hulle moes kyk het en gedink het, wow, look at what they've done with our music, and nou is hulle holograms.
But Mamma Mia, they, Bjorn, the Pierre, co-produced. So he made sure that they will not be ashamed of it.
Ek wil is nogal vassie oor hoe hulle goed gebruik word. Yeah.
Yeah. So now there's a new movie coming, Here We Go Again, Mamma Mia 2.
Oh.
With also Bjorn hulle aan producing, en ek sien Cher gaan aan sing.
Oh, cool. En Piers gaan Mr.
Ongelukkig moet fucking Piers weer, hy was horrible.
Joch.
Hoe kon hulle van dit laat doen?
Nee, ek verstaan nie. Daai een, dit was net vir my.
Die SOS was horrible.
Can you hear me, darling? SOS.
Dit was pynigend. Ek weet nie of is hy regtig so box office naam, dat hulle hom moes gebruik. Daar is toch sekerlik ander mense wat kan sing, soos wat's daar, ene van Australië,
Hugh Jackman. Ja,
hy kan sing. He's the same kind of league of that character.
Josh Groban is 'n goeie actor, hulle kan hom gebruik.
Exactly.
Jy sal die kakker daai liedjie uitsing.
Dis wat mense wil hê, mense sê die mense moet dit sing, nie screech nie.
Ja. En die Tjeche weer, hy het daai interview gedoen met Piers, en hy het gesê, hy was toe hulle nou daai outfits aan het. Was, en Daniel Craig, hulle het James Bond op 'n eiland langs hulle gefilm. Toe sê hy so bang, hy sien vir Daniel Craig iewers raak, want die ou James Bond en die nieuwe James Bond het
oh,
die
yes,
costumes verander.
Verander, daar loop hy nou as a prancing queen. Arme Piers, maar hy het hieruit kak gesing. So, Here We Go Again is the new movie and ek weet nie of hulle net nieuwe songs gaan gebruik nie, maar hulle kan, want daar is so baie songs.
Hulle kan maar weer vir Meryl insit, dit was.
Meryl, ek dink hulle is allemaal terug.
Hoe awesome.
Wat ek dink, die story oor gaan, as ek reg onthou, maybe I dreamt this, maybe I never know anymore what I dream and what is true, but I think it is about that time when Meryl was young.
Oh.
And when she was fucking around.
Oh, nice.
With the young men. If you actually think about it, it's such a moral story for the cookish ABBA people. You know, die ouwe mense ook, oh, ABBA, ons is lief vir ABBA. Meanwhile, het jy die vrou rondgenaai met 3 months in 1 week. But they don't see it that way.
Yeah.
But so, ek dink dit is hoe die story gaan.
Wel, as hulle jong sangers gebruik, sal hy Jack Efron, hy sing flippin' amazing.
Ja, hulle moet net asseblief, maar Piers is blijkbaar in die movie. Ek hoop net, hy sing SOS in die see, en niemand hoor het nie, ja. That's all I want to know. A wish for.
Dis nie, nou dat ons klaar Piers geheid het.
We love you, Piers. I mean, as hy nou hier instap, sal ek toe...
We loved you. You were biggest, so amazing.
I'm your biggest fan. Dis altyd so, as mense iemand ontmoet wat jy eindelijk niks aan oor omgee nie, maar as jy hom ontmoet, I'm your biggest fan. Oh, it's so nice. Ek bedoel, kom ons kyk, as Paul, whatever, the mall cop, wat is hy nou?
Paul Blot, yes. Ek kan nie sy naam met
Wel, as jy nou, precies, maar as jy nou sal instap hier, nou, dan sal ons gaan. Oh ja, we love your movies.
Ja.
Nee, ons sal het sê.
Ons sal het tot sê van die director wat nou in die moeilikheid is. Wat sy naam?
Harvey Weinstein.
As hy hier
in jou. Jesus, ja, Harvey. Hi, ja. We don't believe the things, Harvey. Just put back your penis. We don't believe it.
Nee, ek dink jy sal hom 'n go gee.
Hoe bedoel jy?
Jy sal hom mooi vertel.
Ja, ek sê maar so net, hy moet sy penis terugsit.
Tuinslang terugsit.
Sit terug die tuinslang.
Hy stinkflink.
Stinkflink. Ons water net van vuur in die middag af, anders brand, anders scorch ons. Hmm. Die blindjes. Well, you have mentioned, I don't know where to go now, but I think I'm going to go here, because you've mentioned Blade Runner, I want to talk about that. Is your dancers al hier?
Ja, alles daar. Sit hier so voor.
Okay. So let me start with this, and then we can go to the dancers. They can come sit so long. And I will just tell people about this, which I'm playing here. So this is... None other... than Evita...
Mm.
which opened last night at the Monte Teatro. But for a twist in the tale, this is the Dutch version.
Oh, cool.
Just for fun. And then after we've listened a bit to this, I'm going to tell you about the musical. Then I'll stop myself, and then we'll talk to our dancers, and then I'll continue.
Het is niet simpel om hier te staan. Dat na alles wat nu is gebeurd, ik toch smeek om uw liefde hier op dit balkon. Ik kan niet zonder. Hier wordt een vrouw ten tonele gevoerd, die ondanks haar prachtige maat door jullie nu diep is ontroerd. Ik moest gewoon veranderen, zo moest het gaan. O, ik wachtte met smart op mijn beurt. Mijn jeugd in het donker, als een kind zonder zon. Ik koos de vrijheid, altijd op zoek en ook altijd op jacht. Maar niets dat me werkelijk iets deed, had ik eigenlijk ook niet verwacht. Huil niet om mij, Argentina. Ik ben je toch trouw gebleven, als ik door glimmen jou soms ook griefde. Ik gaf mijn ja-woord, geef mij jouw liefde. En alle rijkdom, ik echt nooit om gevraagd. Ook al dacht iedereen, dat is al wat ze wil. Het zijn illusies, leiden niet tot conclusies voor een beter bestaan. De waarheid is, ik heb het alleen.
So that was last night at the Monte Evita. Not this version, this is Dutch, but a version. So my first comment, which I will then continue with later, is I absolutely adored, loved the first half for various reasons. You must remember that this Evita is also the kind of homage to the original show which won the Tonys in 19 Footsack. So we are seeing that version for the first time now. And so that was also interesting to see through a glass of your glasses of history that this is what the New Yorker saw in 1755. They saw them. No, it was 1978, I think. And so, yeah, I loved the first half. Jonathan Rocksmith, as always, fantastic. And the Evita, God, sy gooi die noote oor. Hy sit daar in die middel van die anus. It was lovely. What did that guy say?
Okay, Martin Venter sê lekker okkie, nou kan ek met 'n smile begrawe word en steeds die oude dooste begrafnis gangster. Gelukkig hou met die groot orange.
I've got no idea what that means.
Hip hop talk.
Oh, is it hip hop? You see that it all blends in now. I love that. Hi to Kimmy and hi to Boulevard. Hi.
Hello.
Nice to have you here.
Oh yes, thank you for having us.
And you are going to dance for us today, mm-hmm. but you've got a specific style. Tell me about it.
What we're doing today is, it's basically
fusion.
Dance fusion of hip hop. There's some dance hall. And we're going to have, is it some Kwaito or is it Spujwa?
Spujwa.
Oh. Yeah. So that's a whole Vier Mekaarspel.
Exactly.
So I know all of them except the whole dance.
Dance
the whole dance, I don't know.
Sorry, dance hall. Whole dance? Dance hall.
Okay, and so who, is it your concept? Or where does this style come from to amalgamate all these dancing styles?
It comes from Freeze Frame Dance Crew. And
Oh, so you guys have actually mended it like a recipe to your style.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Now I'm with you. All right.
So that's fused.
Okay.
I'm not confused anymore. It's fused.
Very cool.
And where can people see you do this? Or do you do this for corporates? Or how does it work? How do you know about this, Rion?
Well, I did a gig with Boulevard Stanza over here.
Okay.
Got that name right finally.
Absolutely. Boulevard Stanza.
He's a very good hip hop dancer.
Okay.
So I'm very excited. So the hip hop crews get booked where they get booked. It's not. It's not the way it is with corporates where you get booked 3 or 4 months. Sometimes the gig comes up like I phoned him this week. You need to get to the studio now. So I'm very excited to see what you guys are going to perform for us, because I know you're doing a little routine together and then they're going to battle.
Oh, yes. Oh, battle it out. So have you tried your turf? Is everything happy there?
Everything.
Have you got space?
Perfect.
Everything. Okay, that's fantastic. Now, Rion, can you do me a favor and take your phone and video them?
Yes, I will.
And you send it to the Casper Radio Show page and I will share it back to the Casper fan page, where we will then. How's our views of last week? Doing well?
Yeah, I think we just hit over 3,000.
Wow.
So,
what was that again? It was Paso Doble.
Paso Doble.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Paso Doble. Monido Luapne. Okay, and Kimmy, do you do other dance styles? Are you a dancer?
Yes, I am. I am starting to go out, like. I used to do gymnastics, and now I'm doing the hip-hop.
Oh, that's lekker.
Yeah, and then I'm going to start with Latin, like.
So are we going to see a little bit of break dancing?
Hopefully. Let's see how it goes.
Cool. So you're going to dance together, and then you're going to challenge each other.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, but we will see it happen.
Oh, not real battle. Like, you're not going to
each other. No, we're not that kind of station. That's
Eric. That's Classic FM.
That's Classic FM. For fucks. And you, Boulevard, where do you come from? Do you come from a boulevard of broken dreams?
I come from a boulevard of chasing dreams, actually.
Good.
Oh. Yeah. And tell us how you came about your name.
The name is just something that got given to me. You know how something, you made fun of at first?
Yes.
And then it just becomes your name. So
good.
Yeah.
Oh,
and then
cool.
I just worked with it. Because it works with me now.
Good. Even Casper has a hip-hop name.
Is it?
Mm.
Yeah, Puff Adder.
Puff Adder.
But you know, my joke name, mm-hmm. like Boulevard, you say people just mentioned that was when I was young, Cassie. And I didn't like that, but it was they thought it was funny, Cassie. Because Cassie is like a box, little mm-hmm. box. And so that's also become my name for some people.
Cassie. Got used to it.
I got used to it. But no, Boulevard, I like Boulevard. I don't know what the fuck a stanza is, but I will find that out.
Oh. You have to have a B-boy name.
Mm. Yeah.
Mine's Namibian Hardwood.
Ooh. Ooh.
That does not sound right.
Micromatart. Are you from Namibia?
No, no. I just saw it at the garage. It's charcoal.
Namibian Hardwood. Okay, so what I'm going to do now is play a little bit of Buenos Aires from Evita, also in Dutch, while you get it prepared.
Okay.
When you're already out there, Rian, you please show me. Okay.
I'm going to record you first, right? Because it's going to go on your page. And then
yeah, okay. As we play the song, you start recording. So just wait a bit.
Okay.
And then you take them out and you show me when you're ready. All right, and I'll fade it out. I'll say one or two things. Just check that you can hear well outside there. Otherwise, you're going to fucking mime to silence.
Dan kan Betty weer mime wat ek het verkeerd gedoen.
Exactly. And Betty is watching you
more
than you think. So let us go to Buenos Aires. And we'll see you now. So you're going to record now. So this is in Evita, where she goes to Argentina, Buenos Aires. She is a illegitimate child. Her name is Eva Duarte, a family of Jesse. No, not really. And she comes to, in more than one way, to Buenos Aires, and then she meets Perón. And so the legacy starts of Evita Perón with this song. This was also in the first half. Fantastic. You will hear I just harp on the first half now. I'll explain to you now. Meanwhile, we are ready for our dancing. And I think Rian will now record me. Rian, you can speak. You are on air.
Cool. Here we go.
Okay. So welcome again to the Cusp Radio Show. We're going to have a very strange hip-hop mix, kind of a dance with Kwaito, intertwined with this and that. In Afrikaans, a beautiful word is poespas. Die poespas. That means a mixture. So we're going to listen to this. Watch it now because you're on Facebook. We in the studio are going to listen and watch it later on Facebook. Rian, so when you're ready, you can go through the halls.
Here we go.
And then wave at the window so I can see you. And then I'll start the tune, which is going to be a song. It's just called Song. So that's going to be a surprise. The song. Meanwhile, our extra special guest has arrived. Let me just say hello to him. Hello, John.
Hello, how are you?
Ah, man, I'm so happy to see you. Thank you for coming.
It's such a pleasure. Very excited to see this unfolding puss-puss of of physical movement.
I thought you would. So I'm so happy you're here. Let's have a look. Rian said he's ready. So I'm going to switch off everything except the song. You are not for this. Yo, me nah miss number one funny list. The girl them a twist waist and can't resist. Watch out for this. I be my desk lyrics. Mash up the place, but you are not for this. Yo, me nah miss number one funny list. Mash up the place. Oh my.
Stop. two cups of purple just to warm up. Two cups. Drink. I heard your bitch got that water. Splash. Drip. Drip. Woo. Splash. Ay. Slippery. Won't excuse me. Please me. Please. I'm up. Oh, believe me. Believe me. Believe me. Get beat. Cause I'm flexing robberies. You can bet on me.
Amazing, the earth moved. I thought it was lovely. All those different elements of different kinds of dancing in one magnificent. I think the English word is pastiche.
Yeah,
for puss-puss. I think it's pastiche. I think I don't know.
Pastiche is something different.
Something different, is it?
Yeah, it's a mixture more than a pastiche is. I think a certain style.
Right.
Isn't it?
I just use the word because it sounds
yeah,
really
it's a nice
fancy.
Word. I heard the word as well, pastiche, and I actually ordered it once in a restaurant.
And what came out?
Haute cuisine.
Really?
Yeah. Rian, you must tell them to wait because we want to take pictures of them, eh?
Yes.
But that was I couldn't see because I've got a reflection in the window.
It was very good. It was very good. I thought it was very good. They were very good. Even because normally when you say please watch dancers, it's like saying, will you look at my holiday photograph?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Oh. And then poor people have to dance on a carpet like in the side of an office. I think but they were very precise and very good. And
you like Boulevard as well, and you said he was
good.
Yes,
yeah, I thought they were great. Just mixing different types of things was very good.
Okay.
That was great.
Fantastic. So they must just hang around.
They will.
And then I'll put this onto the Facebook page as well now. And what are we going to call, what do we call this?
Hip Hop Fusion, I think.
Hip Hop Fusion. You know what, I watched Project Runway the other night, and first of all, it is amazing how quickly they removed Harvey Weinstein's name from the credits.
Already
it's
gone.
Only Bob now. It's only Bob now. And they did ballet hip hop, which was also strange. But this was amazing.
How was the ballet hip hop?
They were coming, my little twinkies. And then they kept on the twinkies.
Oh.
It's strange.
Well, I have to go see
I
that.
Thought your hip hop debut was fantastic that
Thank
night.
You.
I really liked it.
We just played it now.
It was so much better than when your friend says I'm gonna do some rap, you're like, oh, it was great.
Thank you.
I really liked it a lot.
Lekker. Yeah, thank you so much. I enjoyed it a lot. You know, I wanna do more tracks now.
I think you should.
I should
drop an album.
Paul should drop a fucking album. I'm
guest artist, Namibian hardwood. I mean, this is going somewhere. I think this
all these dancers can come on the road.
You can have the guys guys dancing, you know.
When we perform.
Absolutely. As your backup dancers. They can dance on your behalf.
I'll sit in a bath and they dance on my behalf.
In a big fake fur coat. Like, it'll just be awesome with backup dance on leashes.
Yeah.
I think it'll be great.
Okay, you direct.
I'm going to direct. Okay, I'd like to direct this.
Absolutely wonderful. You know, I loved it. I'm going to do more. I've got ideas. But I want to quickly go back and finish what I started here.
Right.
Which was, I was talking about Evita last night. That's why I couldn't come see you.
Oh, right. You were next door.
I was next door.
Very good.
I am definitely going to come and see you because I haven't seen you in that environment. And I think you will be perfect in that. And we'll talk about it now.
Sure.
How you perceive it, how you enjoy it. But, okay, I was at Evita's last night.
We're all dying to know about the second half. Something happened.
Must have been big.
Yeah. So, as you know, she goes on and she becomes the wife of, what's his name? Eduard Perón. This we played. That's when she gets into Argentina. And then the second half starts with "Don't Cry For Me, Argentina" on the balcony. And then from there she gets ill. They show a bit of her tours, which sort of ended up being not successful in halfway because she started to get ill. And she had, just help me right if I say this wrong or right, cervical cancer?
Yeah.
Cervical cancer. So, the second half, I don't know what happened. Evita, it looked like someone kicked her in the crotch.
Oh, no.
Because she was ill.
Because she was ill. She had to act like someone kicked her in the punani.
Right.
She walked like that.
Really?
Oh. Yeah. And now all of a sudden, Evita couldn't get the notes now because she's ill. So, "You Must Love Me" was like a screech fest. I was so glad it was over. She was standing on her own, walking around like a cricketer who's got thrown in the balls.
With another ball.
"You must love me." And then it was always off note because she's ill.
And that's bizarre, isn't it? I mean, you're not supposed to do that, surely, in a musical. You're supposed to sing properly.
Yeah, but I can understand that you must portray her illness, but up to a point.
Yeah, but you have to sing.
She has to sing. She can't just be off the note all the time.
That's torture.
That was good. Really torture. That, when she died, the audience gave her standing ovation.
Like a slow clap.
Evita's dead. Yay! Thank God. Yeah, shame. The actress is wonderful. She's from the United Kingdom. She sings beautifully. This was obviously a director's thing.
A choice.
It was, as I say, a blueprint on a Harold Prince production.
Yes.
But he wasn't here. He's 89 years old, Harold Prince.
Right.
So they took his book and they sort of, assistants copied what they did in 1978 and put it on stage. So someone made the call and said, "Okay, just think that you got a kick in your thingy,
front tochas,
and tochas, and then you sing, my darling." And she said, "Can't I just my hip? Maybe hold my hip or something." No, in the middle between the legs.
Right,
you walk like the Elephant Man up and down the stage. Okay,
right.
Okay, I think. Yeah, no, darling.
We're going to put some slapstick in as well as the tragedy.
It was funny. I must say that Jonathan Rocksmith stole the show for me thus. He was amazing. It was, this version is the version where they've got Che Guevara.
Right.
Of Argentina as the narrator. He never actually met Evita.
Oh.
So it is a bit confusing. I think later they changed it because of that. It only became a narrator. But at the beginning he was Shay, and so they went back to the 78 version. He's Shay. You know, like Judas and Jesus Christ Superstar.
Right.
Sarcasm and making comments about what's happening. He does the same.
Okay.
But he never met her in real life. Although it does look like it in the show, and then he was very, very good. Jonathan is really a world talent.
Right.
Have you seen him in action?
I haven't seen him.
He is fantastic.
I haven't been to any musicals. This is a problem. I've been to like 4 musicals my whole life.
No, you mustn't. You must change that.
I must go see more. Yeah. I better go see more.
You better see more.
I'll go tonight. Oh, I can't. I can't go tonight.
You've got your own show.
I've got to do a show, but I'll go when I get a gap. I'll go.
Okay, now, how's it going in the studio? How do you find that? Because your show, I saw the show, but as a big, spectacular Celine Dion Las Vegas special. Yes.
Yeah, you did see the Vegas version.
What is that band? I couldn't remember the names at the beginning.
A Bitter Einde.
A beer.
Yeah.
I could say the Bergkabout or something.
Close.
And now do you know music? You start on your own?
Yeah, so I stripped it right because I just got the idea when I was overseas and I went to the Perth Festival and I was doing some stand-up at the Perth Festival and I watched a very interesting female comic, a lady called Alice Fraser, who I really dug the purity of what she was doing. She was doing a show, one-woman show. She had a couple of props and stuff, but ultimately it was her doing material and it was just beautifully thought out. So I thought, well, let me strip it all down just to like, I still have a screen and I've got a few little slides and stuff because there's a lot of, you know, stuff.
Yeah, to show, yeah.
It's very much a back to basics. It's me and the audience. When I'd seen a lot of shows in that little room and I thought this is the perfect room. And it really has been. I've done two shows and it's just been, it's superb. Like drunk hecklers get so involved, they kind of join the show and then you kind of write them in to the script and they're helping you along.
Yeah.
And then you can you can introduce this white audience member to this black audience member.
Fantastic.
And you can ask them to make love in front of the whole audience, just in front of us, just to prove that we are getting better. And so it's been amazing. I've got like 6 weeks left I'm so excited.
Well, I'm going to fall in there at least once.
Great.
And it's going to be a surprise for you.
Super.
When I'm there, because I really want to see how you do that venue. And I think it's going to be a wonderful experience.
Yeah, I've got a feeling. It's like going back to boot camp.
Yeah. Yeah. But you got such a lot of knowledge that you got to tell them in the show that it makes, in that way, more sense theatrically that you've got intimate audience venue, as you say, now you can play off people and stuff like that. Where with the big show, it's more like an extravaganza.
Yeah, it's like exhibition. Yeah. So I think you're absolutely right. And I definitely find the moments in the show where I've got to try and, there's a lot to get through. So I had such a good time on the first night. I realized I did 45 minutes just on nothing.
Yo.
I just opened and I was just having, it was just so much fun.
But that's stunning. All you have to do is obviously edit yourself because you can't keep them here for 4 hours.
No, you can't do Hamlet. Like you can't.
But that is part of honing yourself also is to do that, to see.
To edit.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it just gave the people on the slides a nightmare. But I'm hoping that in the future I'll just have a clicker and I'll just control.
Yes,
might be better.
Yeah. It might be better.
But I mean, I do those extravaganzas because you did that all first. I mean, those like multimedia screens.
Yes, and I love
you,
it.
You spoke to the screens, the characters and shows. I mean, it's awesome and not everyone does it. You
know?
It's a lot of effort.
It's a lot of money and effort. Yeah.
Money, a lot of money and effort, But I think audiences appreciate it and it's only when they see other artists do stuff on a big stage with like a spotlight and a microphone stand. And they go, But I think in a small space, it's very exciting to strip it right down.
And you're there till when?
About 6 weeks from now. I don't know what the date is, but it's towards the end of November.
I think Evita would have gone by then.
Well, she would have died, and we'll all have a funeral.
Yeah.
And if what you say is true, we'll be very happy.
Very happy that she's gone now
at
last.
We'll no longer hear the screeches of part two.
I'm sure. I'm so sorry to say this, but really, if you like the musical Evita, please go. I love the musical, so I love to see it in an historical perspective as well. But you know, to think that's how they did it, because they also use slides and stuff, which I think in that time was like revolutionary.
Right,
in 1978, it was like, oh, God, look at this. But now you go, black and white slides. Oh, please. I mean, the modern audiences, but I saw it in that perspective, loved it. It really, if you like the musical, go see it. But it's not the ultimate version. Let me put it that way.
Right.
Okay.
Can I ask you something totally off the topic about original versions?
Yes.
Have you seen Blade Runner yet?
I have.
What did you think of it?
Okay, we'll discuss it.
Okay.
It's on my list. Yeah,
I've
got the
great.
Music,
that's
everything.
Brilliant. No, that's fine.
Great.
We'll
I kept it for you that we can discuss it.
Super.
Yes, it's not the ultimate version, but Go see it for Jonathan Rocksmith. Go see it for Evita. Go see it for Robert Finlayson, who studied with me in Stellenbosch years ago. And he is Perron. And he's going to be our guest in a couple of weeks' time as well. I haven't seen him forever, so that'll be interesting. But now we're off, Evita. We're back to John Flismus, who is with a show called The Good Racist, Relevations 2. He is at the Monte Cassino Theatre as well. And then I think next week in the same venue, the complex would be Alan Committee.
Yeah, he's actually on already. So he's in the main, I'm in the little room and he's in the one downstairs.
And then Evita.
And then Evita's in the big room.
Big happy family.
It's just it's a massive theatrical extravaganza of culture. Che Guevara, Alan Committee, and The Good Racist, all in a casino.
You know, I just told a story to Rian that I was so upset this week because I saw the image of South Africa in Pick and Pay because everyone was so unhappy. And then I said, I remember you, John, have a section in the show where you scold us and say, don't be like that with people working because you don't know their background. Mm. You did that, eh?
Yeah. So
okay, just tell a bit about
me. So I just say, like, we're privileged. Everyone's privileged. Like, we really are. And then you go to Pick and Pay, and now you get angry because the lady at the till is grumpy.
Yeah,
like
that's
good
exactly
enough. It's not good enough. I want you to ring up my groceries that you spend all day ringing up that you can't afford to give your own family happily.
Yeah.
Because my life isn't good enough. I need you to smile at me as well. Because everything must be golden around me. That is the nature of privilege. I demand joy from all I touch. So
I know, it's lovely. It's lovely the way you put it. But I just thought, this is South Africa. Everyone is so unhappy. And, and you know, I was trying to be friendly.
Yes.
It's not as if I went, yeah, ring up, ring up.
No.
I was like, hello, I would like bags, please. And I just got nothing from no one.
Right.
And it felt like everyone was in a depression.
I think everyone's a bit miff at the moment.
Everyone is miff.
Because we don't even know. We don't even know
what's going to happen.
No.
Yeah. When is it supposed to, or when are we supposed to know? End of the year?
Great question. Apparently, but now I hear from some political people that there may not be an ANC electoral conference.
Oh.
So the president may try and put it off because he's not finished yet. He needs to finish up this nuclear thing. He's just positioned the new energy minister and he's probably got to get rid of Cyril. And there's a few things he still has to finish before Christmas.
What nuclear thing with who?
So we are about to sign a massive nuclear deal with Vladimir Putin. I would say Russia, but it's really a private thing. It's R1 trillion. It's the biggest thing we'll ever have done. We don't need it. We can't afford it. And there's much better ways to power the country. In fact, we have surplus power at the moment. We have leftover electricity. So we don't need it. But now he's been switching on and off the lights, as you know, over the years to make us believe that we don't have enough electricity on the grid, but we do. And so he needs to finish this, and it's the last thing. And I think once he signs that deal and gets his commission, he might be living at Dubai.
That's the rumor, hey?
Didn't President Zuma sign some sort of legislation with Obama about us not pursuing nuclear energy? I remember that from a couple of years ago.
We all know he commits to things in the law, and then he goes, and then that's the end of that commitment. So he's not but we'll see. But now the Guptas are being pursued by the FBI and the CIA and the UK authorities because of Lord Peter Hayne, who's been doing a lot of work. So it's going to be very interesting because they're going to seize their assets maybe in other countries.
Good.
That may cause a little bit of a problem in Saxony.
So
your lady behind the till might be smiling next week.
I hope so. I pick and then I'll pray that she smiles. I actually wrote a tweet to Pick and Pay and said, I'm concerned.
I'm worried.
And so what happened? I said, maybe it was a bad day, but everyone was so depressed.
Sad.
Yeah, and I can explain it to you. I said, I can explain it to you if you want to call me, because they said they want to follow it up. Let's see what happens.
They always do. The bots are very responsive.
Yeah, the bots. Now, last time you were here, it's not my fantastic memory. I quickly listened because I can't remember what happened.
Right.
You were made a sir. No, you were made a lord.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Who, me?
Yeah.
No.
We played music. I didn't remember that
either.
Oh,
you made me. Yes, I made you a lord. Sorry, of course.
Where were you?
Sorry.
In real life.
I was there briefly, but I'm back.
This is the Casper radio show.
I think it was the dancers. It threw me out. I wasn't expecting that. Yes, you were a lord,
Order of the Garter.
That's correct.
So we've done that. You're the FOTS, the friend of the show. You're a sir, you're a lord. I can't give you any more than maybe deity. Which I am not allowed to. So it'll be Lord.
Right. No, that's
but
fine.
Not God.
No, 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 but I'm with you on that. So, therefore, obviously I wouldn't want to become something which I don't really believe in either. So.
But we spoke about on that show, and you'll hear my train of thought. Now, is that we spoke about The Apprentice with Arnold Schwarzenegger when you were here.
Yes.
And then we spoke. And last night I watched The Apprentice UK, which is now on. Because there's The Apprentice Arnold Schwarzenegger didn't work then.
Apparently, not really.
So the UK one is now on the go. And what is. Why do I want to combine the two? Oh! Because last night they worked on robots, and you said bots on the campaign, and that's how the brain works. You see?
Absolutely, association. Mm. Got you.
Because we were talking about robots at Las Vegas.
That's
that time you were here, and that you can get robots now that can make look after your child from the beginning.
Yeah.
And the ones that can bury people in Japan. You told me about.
Yes.
Very good.
Now. These apprentices last night of this, Lord Sugar, they were working with robots. It was very interesting to see where it's going. And you can now program robots to do whatever you want it to do. So my robot can go, drive your fucking wiki or whatever. You know?
Yes.
You can do anything with them. It's absolutely amazing. But there is something else, and I can't remember why.
We're getting there. We're getting there.
Yeah, we're slowly working towards the association of it.
Did it have anything to do with the show, your show? No.
I have no robots in the show.
Okay.
At the moment, but you never know.
Oh, I know. We were talking about the bots of Pick and Pay, because Pick and Pay, and that's your bit in the show, which I will remember.
Absolutely.
It's a very good... That is so good about shows, and you get that rarely is where you go, yeah. When you make a point
and
that
people
never thought about that, and it's such a simple point, and they get it.
They lodge it in their head like,
I love that.
That's my favorite thing. Okay, last night I had a wonderful, there was an old couple, and because it's a small venue, you can really kind of see all the front rows, Taff said to me, like, she was really worried that they'd come to the wrong show, that perhaps they were looking for Ellen or for Evita. But when they were in, it's a lot of stairs up and down. They were just like, well, we're here now. We're just going to stay and watch this thing. But they left, and then she said they were, like, lit up. They're like, oh, this was great. Like, they almost, like, didn't know what they were in for. And that's my thing, because I don't know if you know, but I'm not swearing on Wednesdays and Thursdays.
That's nice.
I'm giving myself all these, like, obstacles. So I don't swear Wednesday, Thursday, and Sunday. I go full tilt Friday and Saturday.
Okay, I'll remember to come Fridays.
Please do.
But
I can't
you tell
wait
the audience.
For tonight.
You tell
yes, they are warned.
Oh, that's lacquer.
Yeah, and then I have another thing where I basically have a lot of keywords all spray-painted all over the set. And I'm going to be adding as I go. So as I think of new things in front of them, I just spray it on the stage floor.
That is fantastic.
So, you know, it's like they're watching the show kind of evolve in front of them.
Yeah. I love that. That's so up my alley. Cool. You know what I did in Farkenhell? I had post-its thrown on the floor.
Oh, fantastic.
And then if I didn't know what to do, I picked up a post-it. And then I would go from there.
That's fantastic. Yeah. I love it. See, I love it.
I love this graffiti thing.
I'm thinking about, I was talking to someone, because before I went to Perth, I did a lot of clubs, and my first club gig was this very strange bar in Pretoria, which is sort of a mixture of like hipster craft beer house. It used to be the old Keg and like the Centurion Keg. I think it was like a hard gig. I used to play it with Mel Miller. It was like hard and dangerous and like heaving with people. Wow. And people just screaming. It was like... I went there the other night. It's been converted to the sort of hipster, genteel, sort of, I don't know, craft brewery. And there was one table of three men, large, with khaki and caps and shorts on.
I know.
And on the other side were three very hipster young black people. It was just the most... There were only about 12 people in the audience.
Yeah.
It was the weirdest gig I've ever done. And I suddenly fell in love with complicated gigs. I was like, but this is actually fantastic. This is awesome. And so... I made a decision then. We were just chatting and somebody said, you know what we have to do? We have to break stand-up comedy. It's too structured these days. Let's break it and see what happens. And I feel like that's kind of was the seed of what I want to do now, is that
fantastic.
To break it and rebuild it. So if I do take the show back to Australia or to Edinburgh, for example, I'm not going to suffer that anxiety of like, will my structure work in that new context?
You've got the structure.
I must just make it work with my toolbox from breaking things.
Yes,
you know.
That's fantastic.
So that's the kind of thing.
And you're in command totally.
Yeah, and it's madness, so how can anyone else impose control?
Exactly. It's madness.
Yes.
I love that concept as well, that you just... They are with you. You are mad, so they just got to follow.
Do you know what I mean? And anything could happen.
Anything can happen.
Yeah.
And it will surprise you as well. And that's your enjoyment as part of the show as well. Yeah.
I've had an enormous amount of involvement over the last two nights from Afrikaans men, particularly. But like such happy involvement. It's been incredible. There were a group of doctors who came. One was a surgeon. We managed to organize a kidney transplant in the middle of the show. So what's evolved is instead of being a hard attack on the audience about being racist, it's a surfacing. We're surfacing it together, and that's – it's kind of become a bit joyful, which is weird. I didn't expect that from my own work, but that's – it's very cool.
Very nice.
So, you can call it the joyful racist later.
The joyful racist.
I want to ask you, somewhat off the cuff here, why do you think it's white – men, race, but specifically men, who have always been the mean ones throughout the ages. Because I was thinking about that. I can be wrong, but I mean, like, when you encounter the Native Americans, they didn't attack and kill. They did that because the white man always broke his word.
Absolutely.
Always through history.
Yeah.
The white man is a fucking liar.
Yeah, it's a common creature.
Because do we think we are the strongest or what?
So I think it has an element of that. I think evolution is partially to blame. I think that testosterone with kind of higher consciousness is a problem. And I think when you get to the top of the chain, you become the worst kind of animal.
We
see it again and again, and we're seeing it play out now in black centers of power as well. It's about power. And Harvey Weinstein, you know, Hansi Cronier, for example. Like, it's just in the worst place. We hand all this trust and this power to people. They're not capable of controlling it, and it ultimately will corrupt them. And I think that's why I took a white guy from the Free State to write The Lord of the Rings, about the fact that when you concentrate power in one place, it becomes the ultimate curse. And I honestly think that because of the evolution's game is to turn its own on each other to find the next strongest. So in other words, you have this level of equality in a population. The next evolution is to introduce another form of weapon. So physical prowess was no longer the weapon. It became the kind of mental agility. And then, you know, then the trick was to take the powerful people, still keep them powerful physically so they could generate labor, but then use your mental agility to enslave them in other ways. So I feel that there's a function of evolution behind all of it. Not to say that there's no guilt, because when you get higher consciousness, surely you must develop conscience as well, which we don't seem to have done.
No.
We've taught people in business schools it's all about the bottom line. It's profit, it's numbers, just squeeze. So now we just do all the terrible things to people who are too poor to communicate that they're being abused. It's, you know, it's terrible, but it's expediency, I think.
And it seems like, for me, it seems like the way you work through that and handle that in your own heart is religion, because then a lot of these ruthless people are religious. And it's as if you can put that in a bag.
Yeah, it's a handoff.
And you feel better, and now you're going to be mean again.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's this constant flip-flop. Like I can't say that for me, proof that they can't be a god is the fact that priests abuse kids. If monsters abuse children, well, then they're monsters. But, like, these are your oaks. Well, why don't you have a word? Let's sort this out.
Exactly.
And in my show now, I just say, like, because people do, they hand it off to religion. They go, oh, well, God works in mysterious ways. That's the ultimate cop-out. You can't say that, right? I think, what was the other one? I heard a great quote the other day. I was reading an essay by a really famous critic. I think God only helps those that help themselves. He said was the most eloquent and roundabout way of saying that he doesn't exist. because if you literally take that phrase, so I think you're right. And it's like the shareholder. People blame their bad behavior on the shareholder because it's the ultimate get out of jail card. And I think it's a similar device, a deity or a shareholder. It's nameless, faceless. How do you possibly? And it's above reproach. So, you know, I think that's how it goes, is we just don't take blame. You know, we hand it over.
Mm.
You know, like, God, no, but God said this was cool.
Yes. So it's, you actually think you're a good person.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is the problem, because I think one should face yourself and see, no, I can change. This is not right. This is not right. And they don't do that. And yeah. If you tell them that, they get very angry.
Defensive.
Yeah.
And defensive. That's the idea of the show, is that we've argued race. We haven't engaged in race. As white people, and I can only speak from a white perspective. Now, I would love to have a global, you know, worldview. I just don't have it.
Mm. But if I do, if I practice that little thing from To Kill a Mockingbird, where the whole idea is you put yourself in someone else's shoes and look through their eyes, I would hate whites if I was black.
Yeah,
I would fucking hate them.
Yeah, and I think there's a terrible fear that that's what will happen.
Mm.
You know, is that will be acted out. But the truth is, we've proved again and again that humanity is actually quite a good bunch.
I hope fucking so.
You know, well, the just evidence is that generally the top causes the major problems and the bottom tries to solve them.
Mm.
So we only really revolt as a mass when it's gone too far. But generally we try and find a better solution. And the truth is, masses used to be dangerous because of a lack of communication. But as we now know, masses can communicate at high speed. And so
now we do,
Yeah, there's an override. I mean, people are like, now yesterday, Danny Jordan, like all these things are coming out in the wash.
Tell me about Danny Jordan.
He's been alleged that he raped someone. Jennifer Ferguson, the singer.
What?
Living in Sweden. She now came out and said, because of this, was it Me Too, the hashtag, this campaign that's going Me Too. She said she was inspired to come out and say that she alleges that he raped her in PE in a Holiday Inn, which just adds to the tragedy, obviously. Yeah. And then within hours of that announcement, another woman came forward who doesn't want to be named but has said that she was also raped by him, so alleged. So, you know, I think we're going to find a lot more activism coming out. So, you know.
That is the thing of power. Now let's shift it from race to the actual thing of power. It seems as if power or the fact that you realize you've got it or you've used it makes men horny and they want to fuck.
Absolutely. Harvey, Harvey, Harvey.
Harvey.
I mean, it's crazy. It's almost linked, isn't it? It's like whether it's fucking killing, consuming, winning. These are all testosterone, you know, like champagne corks going off, you know.
So when you realize you've got so much, you go ballistic and want to fuck.
It's just Caligula.
Caligula.
Caligula in four ways.
That's a nice name also for a club in four ways. Can you believe it? Because I can't remember where, that some general in 1715 won a battle, and then his wife wrote in her diary, "He pleasured me twice today."
Wow.
Dear diary. Woohoo. Yeah. That's amazing.
So that's part of that whole Harvey Weinstein thing.
It's true.
It's the power. And you think you can, you have control. You own that person for a while.
And, you know, it's the complication of the abuse. Like, what happened to just straightforward abuse? You know, if that's what you want. But now, okay, I'll wear the robe. You sit here and have a drink. I'm going to have a shower. You watch me.
Yeah. And I'm coming to a pot plant.
I mean you did that a lot. I mean, what are we talking about here? It's just so complicated.
Hey, he's ill,
Power. There's something wrong. Yeah, it obviously messes your head up.
I can understand it, but I can control it.
Right, so you know? Feel those things and you rationalize them and then you...
My little power I've had in my life, for instance, the Casper radio show, Rasper show, here I was, Casper radio show, I'll get you now, Rian, what you have to do for me.
Where's that pot plant?
Back in the sperm steam.
is it a palm tree?
You know, you got this control. Now, obviously, you can misuse it and you can...
Yeah.
tell people you must do this for me to allow you to do that.
Yes.
But you stop yourself. This is not right. But these people can't stop themselves.
So they say that's the difference between a normal person and a psychopath.
Yeah.
We all have fantasies.
Yes,
but
yes.
But we temper them with our conscience and our morality. That's whereas a psychopath doesn't have that.
He can't control
Gandhi,
it
comes up in my show as well. Gandhi was a very similar predator with women. Well, basically, he abused two young women for girls. They were about 11 or 12 when it all started. But he slept every night of his life naked in his bed, naked with two naked little girls.
Wow.
And then they kind of grew up with him, and I think at around the age of 17, they developed a very strange infatuation with him. One was called Manu. I think it was his great-grand niece or something. He bathed with him as well, and it got really freaky.
It's not
young. It wasn't such a hero.
Healthy.
It was like a sort of a Bollywood Bill Cosby type of creature. And yet, because he was all cool, you can't say that, and people get upset, and I'm like, well, don't scream at me. Google it, bitch. Don't throw your toys at me.
Same with old Crumpet, Mother Teresa.
Yeah.
She was apparently also a vile woman.
Apparently. That's what I've heard. I haven't actually read up the details, but I've heard she was very unpleasant.
I think we should read it up.
I think we should. We should because Google Mother
because
Teresa.
Because if you do Gandhi on your show, you can throw Mother Teresa in as well.
Just to get those people.
Just to get them
upset everyone.
Yeah.
And while the little bit you got left of happiness for life, let me just crush it with Mother Teresa's facts. Yeah. Now the show is called Relevations: The Good Races. It's at the Monte Cassino Theatre for 6 weeks, at least allegedly.
Allegedly.
And I'm definitely going to come and see it.
Thanks.
I always enjoy your shows. You know that I'm a bit admirer of yours since I saw you years ago. I didn't know. I thought John Flismus was this punk, aggressive cunt.
Pretty much. I've got an ex-wife that'll testify on your behalf.
But were you rough?
You know, it's weird. I started off in a trio of comedians called the Durban Poison Comedy Roadshow a long time ago, and I was actually the clean one of the lot. And then I started shifting. Just that the comics that I grew up loving were kind of dangerous. I remember, I mean, I used to watch Peter Dirk Ace. I watched your stuff. Like Rule Breakers, a man in a dress, an Afrikaans guy swearing. Like they were just, and I'll never forget that night, actually, Rian. I got back to my hotel room and there was an envelope shoved under my
door.
You
said Rian now.
Did I? Is your name not Rian?
That is Rian.
Oh, I thought you talked to me.
Oh, no, sorry. I just mentioned.
Thought I'm Rian van Niekerk. What's his name?
Rian van Heerden.
Sorry, Rian. Sorry.
It's all good.
And there was an envelope under my door, and it was a written letter from Casper saying, I watched your show tonight and I really enjoyed it, and here's my number. Let's have a coffee or
something. That's very cool.
I phoned him immediately.
Oh, straight away.
I didn't realize he was probably asleep.
Hello.
That's very cool.
That was in the Cape, hey?
It was in the Cape. Yeah. It was at a weird hotel, too. Why were we there? It was like the President Square. Or
it was President Hotel or the Cape Townian.
Maybe the Cape Townian.
Yeah. Maybe you were in Arts Cape. I'm not sure.
I can't remember. Something like that.
Mm.
But that feeling is something money can't buy, getting a letter like that, because you've seen it your whole life.
That was very cool.
That's so amazing.
That was very, very cool. So, yeah. So I was the clean one, and then I don't know how, but I ended up becoming the more dangerous one. But I've always loved the... even your work, you do all the research and then you're rude, but you've done the research.
No, you've got backing, you see.
Yeah, that's what
so
I love.
So the people, I still get people who comment on shows that are like so old and they say, you know, the other night we watched National Geographic and you were right. There was a Homo erectus. I said, yeah, do you think I made up these facts? Now you've got to have the factual thing behind you, and that's what I like to do, and that's what we have in common also, is that you can, as you do your show, read up as you go along and put it into the show and read this and do that and constantly make the show better, actually.
And I think darkness is a very important place to live in comedy.
Absolutely.
Like, it's not necessary in La La Land, you know.
No.
Great comedy needs horror as a neighbor. I just think that's so important.
Always the best are on that, what do you call it, precipice, whatever, between funny and eerie. But I think we are a bit fucked in our heads.
Yes, I think we are definitely a bit fucked.
But we're not dangerous to society.
No. if we are, it's because we tell the truth.
Yes. That's the only reason. Yeah.
That's a threat to some people.
Because there's a lot of horror in what I do in my comedy as well.
And absolutely.
But I find it so funny.
Yeah.
Because for me, it doesn't exist. There is no Satan, no demon.
Yeah.
It's all in the mind.
Yes.
So I like to play on that.
Yes.
You know, in my comedy.
You parody what people hold to be sacred.
The devil and vampires and stuff. Because for me, it means shit.
Yes.
I
do remember a very, very funny Twilight report that you did.
Yeah.
Really?
True.
Oh my word, it's very funny.
Yeah, we did Twilight in 2009, I think. It was very funny. I've got a section called Stof Poopies.
Right.
But I have now lined up, I just realized, the wrong tracks because I am a bit old.
Right.
Yeah. So let's say welcome to our
Extra Special
guest again, John. Now, let me go over and get the Stof Poopies thing while you will tell us about your Stof Poopies choice, which I found also.
Did you find it?
I found it very interesting. I found it, of course, but I found it very interesting. Also rough.
Yeah.
But I love it as well.
Oh, do you? I'm so glad.
Tell Rian.
Well, if I'm right, this is the. It's the first album I ever bought vinyl when I was young, and I had heard these young men who were absolutely taking the world by storm, but they were so rude and their behavior was so bad they were thrown out of venues. But I just knew there's something about them, and as I got to know them better, can I tell it who it is, or must I keep it a surprise?
Okay. Tell a bit more about them while I play this thing, and then I'm gonna announce who they are.
Okay, cool.
Foot. Okay.
And I ended up going to the Durban beachfront to buy this record, not knowing it was an import only.
Oh.
And my dad was with me because he was going to buy the album for me. And I'll never forget that he had to double take because it was a 35 rand album.
Oh.
If you understand, wow, that's a lot of money.
Yeah. I used to get $2. $2 a week pocket money.
Oh, yes. My goodness.
It was the same price as a very expensive pair of sunglasses. And my dad was like, what do you need this for? Like, what is this for? I was like, Dad, this is very important. This is a very important record. And to his credit, he bought it for me.
Oh, cool.
They went on to become some of the most respected musicians across many genres.
You can name them.
Many genres that are musical geniuses. They're called the Beastie Boys.
Wow.
And they are awesome. One died recently, which is quite tragic.
Yes.
But they were the first men with great ability who just completely disrespected all the rules. They were loud and brash, but very good. And also, there were rappers who were white, which is just a very interesting thing. But anyway, this is an anthem.
Child now know every word.
I did. I used to like rap along to the album. It's just a beautiful album. Yeah. I still play it because I am a child.
Of course. That's the other thing with children, still.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So that is the Beastie Boys, and that was our Stop Poopy for today, courtesy of John Flissmas, and it's presented by Get Ready to Be Hungry.
Wat eet ek vandag?
Ek weet nie.
Dit sal sandwich baron moet wees. Hulle lewer ons gratis af by my huis of kantoor.
Nee.
Maar wat sal dit wees? 'N smaaklike toebroodjie, 'n kraakvat slaai of vars Franse brood met 'n verskeidenheid kwaliteit vulsels of dalk 'n reuse gebakte aartappel wat bedek is met romerige sampioensaus, brosgebraaide spek en baie cheddar kaas. By Sandwich Baron kan jy aanlyn bestel. Registreer eenmalig by die winkel van jou keuse. Bestel aanlyn by sandwichbaron.co.za. Sandwich Baron, ongetwyfeld heerlik.
And now we are going to discuss what we wanted to discuss earlier, and it's this. John, who's that? What's this?
Oh, it's so nice. I thoroughly loved it. It's Blade Runner.
Blade Runner 2049. Where did you see it?
So this was the mistake. The only place it was near me was in a 4D Extreme Theater.
No, it wasn't.
Did you like that?
Yes.
Did you like it?
It wasn't a mistake, I think.
Do you think it was better to see it like that?
Yes.
Okay, well, I mean, I loved it.
I loved it in that... just say hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Okay. I just wanted to put off a mic. I didn't know which one. You know what? I wanted to see it in IMAX, and then Cradlestone was attacked by the tornado.
Oh, and the whole cinema was taken up to heaven.
Yeah. Thank God I wasn't watching 2049 when that happened.
Because it could have fit it in, that whole storm.
I would have thought it was part of the 3D, you know? So, the only venue I could go to that's close for me was what corner is it? Hyde Park Corner?
That's where I saw it.
Yeah.
That's where I went.
Where did you see it? When?
I think it was on Sunday.
I also saw it on Sunday.
Really?
At IMAX in Eastgate.
Ah, wow. But that's on your side.
Yeah.
Nice. I saw it on when the fuck did I see it? But I saw it also recently. John, I think it's the best venue because the chairs were quiet for a long time, hey?
Yeah, yeah. It wasn't in the quiet parts.
Yeah. So I appreciated that. I thought there were three instances in that movie where there was just too much rikking and water sprayed into your face. For the rest, it was actually perfect.
I might be talking about only those three because I am such a Blade Runner fan.
Mm.
I was like absorbing every frame.
Isn't it?
Oh, wow.
Every sound.
Isn't it just a work of art?
I said to Taff, it's the best thing I've seen in a cinema in a very, very long time.
Very, very long
time. So good. And if anyone doesn't like it, I actually don't give a fuck. I don't care about you, and I'll stab you in the face.
It's one of those movies where you are thankful it was made.
100%.
Yeah.
And a sequel that is 100% welcome in the world.
Technically fantastic. The music, the way he applied the music, and so loud. I love it. He's a good director.
Great.
This guy.
That casting, Gosling was perfect. Even old Harrison Ford was fitted
was
in
good.
Beautifully.
Yeah.
Everyone just seemed to fit in.
It was 2 hours of Gosling getting his ass kicked.
Three hours.
And those fearless pauses, just silent moments, darkness, shot in dark conditions.
It's lovely.
Beautiful.
And how he evolved the images of Blade Runner 1 with the ads and the stuff that has now become bigger and bolder.
Yeah.
And ballet dancers in the street. And it's beautiful.
That magnificent old resort at the end. Just the art direction of it, you know. Sort of a amazing.
The in Las Vegas.
Yes. Just beautiful.
Beautiful.
The hologram and the woman making out at the same time.
Yeah,
that
clever.
Was mind blowing.
That scene was just it's crazy.
Clever. Yeah. No, I really wouldn't. But I can't see this in a cinema. In my home anymore. I have to see it in a cinema now. Huh?
Yeah.
Those big and on the big screen. What happened to Blade Runner? Oh, here it goes. Memory.
I do wish I watched the first one first, though.
Oh, did you not see the first one?
You have to.
That was a bit of a boo-boo.
It's always a problem when you go back because the technology's changed.
Yeah.
And like, I'll remember that film differently to what you'll see it now.
Yeah.
Because you saw it in a time when it made an impression on you.
Yeah.
And it still does if you think it's 1982 and it looks amazing. But obviously this one is better technically. But the seed were sown in Blade Runner 1. You have to see it first. You have to have that background. Mm. Otherwise, you would think it's pretentious shit because you wouldn't know what the fuck they were talking about.
Yeah, and it took me a while to realize.
I mean, how awesome to have such an incredible plot twist.
Yes.
It's a big surprise. Like towards
three quarters into the...
Three quarters, it's just amazing. It's just so...
Yeah.
It's very good. And if any, you know... Like, I went to watch Love and Snow show. People were talking around me going, oh, this is bullshit. These clowns don't even talk. I just wanted to say, just take your children home and gas yourselves in the car because this whole family is fucking fucked. It's over for you.
Barbarians, yeah.
And it's the same with Blade. I just think Blade Runner, it's like you don't want it to end.
I didn't want it to end at all. I couldn't believe it was 3 hours long. It was mind-blowing. The imagery, the music... Yeah, even the chairs, I loved it when we flew and the chairs were going with
drifted.
It. Oh, man.
Those aerial shots. Yeah.
I've been on those chairs before, so I thought, okay, I'll know what to expect, but it worked. It was well programmed, I thought.
It was much better because I saw some other rubbish with
yes.
the kids.
When you just rick and you go, oh, my God.
Trying to just spill your popcorn.
Yes. Yes. I was thinking of a sketch. Then you sit... in the 4DX cinema and the shot is of the two people in front of you, you just see the backs of their heads and then the movie starts and you see popcorn going into the air and Astros and Coke then they get up and they're all dirty. So, oh, that was a lack of filler.
I didn't know the lead singer from 30 Seconds of Mars is such a good actor.
Oh, yeah, no.
That was amazing.
And how wonderful that he's blind.
Absolutely. Mm. You should watch him as...
Not the actor, though, people. It's in the character.
Yes. You must watch him as the Joker in Suicide Squad. It's a really great version of the Joker.
Yes.
I don't know if it's the greatest film on earth, but it's... he plays a great Joker.
I enjoyed him there because it was... I mean, the Joker's the Joker, but he played such a significant role. And I heard that his contact lenses were actually thick, so he couldn't see.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but he also acted like that because he was always sitting slightly slanted to the front, forward, the actor. Because obviously he couldn't see.
Yeah.
But it worked so well. Oh, and that imagery of that thing that he... gives birth to out of that plastic bag.
It just drops on the ground, and then that whole, even that physical sequence of that woman was amazing. Mm. Yeah. He just
with the twitches, she's twitching. You're like,
and as if, I don't know. It's my fault maybe as well, as it is as if we do not see the warning signs because the people there, once again, like in a lot of movies, but it started with Blade Runner. The people are poor and aggro, and now even the fucking replicators, or whatever they're called, are poor and angry, and they want to make war.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Disenfranchised and broken.
Yeah.
And it's that thing of, like, the rich just elevating themselves.
Too much.
Going too far, and even building, you know, the idea that they exist on another level.
Yes. And these rich, extravagant people, and the poor folks down there.
In India, you see that in Mumbai, like, the man who's got a skyscraper for a house, it's the biggest house in the world, it's a skyscraper for a family of, like, seven or something. It's like it's a skyscraper. And around the bottom, literally, there's people living in their own shit. It's even... I heard that sound when I was walking in India. Oh, yeah. That was exactly it.
The casting done by Pick and Pay. Everyone is depressed.
Very depressed.
The soundtrack is unbelievable. Unbelievable. Skaters,
you have seen Arrival?
Yes.
Same composer.
Really?
Composer is the same. And then Hans Zimmer.
But
remember Arrival, they also have that sound for the aliens.
Yes, that beautiful, deep... Yeah. Do you know where that's from? It's from Buddhists. They do that by note sort of... Absolutely. And I really think it's because it gives us a reaction. Something about that sound makes us a bit like... Whoa.
We do react to it.
Yeah. The Buddhists are onto something there.
Yeah. John, when I saw you the last time, it was Famous Last Words.
Yes.
The gala. And you asked me, what are you watching, Casper, on TV? And I said, well, and I couldn't remember a thing.
Yeah.
But that is, I think, the sign of the times. So I wrote down to tell you what I'm watching.
Oh, very good.
Let's see. Okay, I told you about Rick and Morty.
You did, and it is very funny.
It is funny. Insane.
Wonderful.
Wonderful humor. Then I'm watching, as we know, Project Runway without Harvey Weinstein. He's gone. It's time. Last week tonight. Oh, the last week tonight. What's his name? The British guy.
John Oliver.
Yes.
He's great.
He's fantastic.
He's very, very good. I like him a lot.
I like him 96% of the time.
Right.
Yeah, sometimes he just goes a bit over the top.
It's quite a high score, though. I think 96 is pretty good.
Fucking high. Then I watched the new Star Trek that's out.
Oh, I haven't watched that.
It's interesting. Okay. Well made.
Okay.
Lots of money. Wes, we're still flying in the air. Oh, God. Then Dangerous People.
Oh, no, hang on. That, I think I looked at.
With Billy Eichner.
Yes.
He is
Dangerous
now...
Dangerous People. Is it a docu?
No.
No, it's not.
It's a comedy... what do you call it? Poisonous. What's that word? Acerbic. What's that word?
Acerbic.
Yeah, comedy. About New York.
Oh, wow.
Very funny.
I haven't seen it. I must look for that.
Yeah,
I'm
look
thinking
for
that. There's something about tapes.
Confession tapes.
The confession tapes.
Also good.
I don't know why I thought of Dangerous People, but it's quite...
It makes sense.
Okay.
Because they are also dangerous people. Those tapes. Have you seen the tapes yet?
I've seen the first episode or two.
Yeah, it's where
They force the
people to say that they did it.
But they didn't.
But they got techniques. Basically, is you get the guy in as soon as possible, and you to make him sit in that fucking office for hours and hours and hours, and he wants to go home, and then he would say, okay, I did it. And you can't believe it until you see it. That you, how would a guy say, I did it? Well, you see it there.
You actually see how it works.
Yeah. Winnie Mandela's knee is better. I just wanted to say, breaking knees.
I heard she left the hospital. She's back. Yeah, she's... Yeah. Her knee is... Yeah, she had knee surgery.
She's now called Winnie. Winnie Mandela. Okay? And everything is well.
Imagine she lost a leg. She would have really been stompy.
break a leg. President Show with Anthony... I can't never say...
Yes, yes,
guy.
That's quite good. Lacka. Like that. Great
that guy's
impressionist.
Nice. Yeah, he's also... It's not the Saturday Night Live, what's that guy? Baldwin.
Yes, Baldwin, yeah.
Baldwin is more like play clowning around.
Yeah, a bit of a lampoon of the
This guy.
He goes in, hey?
He goes with a knife.
Yeah.
And then Orville is a new series by Seth MacFarlane.
Yeah.
A Family Guy.
Yeah.
And it is a science fiction. It's Star Trek, but...
Wow.
A comedy Star Trek. It's very good.
Oh, wow. Orville.
I am so impressed. The Orville. Orville apparently was one of the Wright brothers'
names.
Yes,
name. Orville and Wilbur were the two Wright brothers.
So his spacecraft is called the Orville.
The Orville.
Yeah. And it is an intriguing story. He goes a lot about, the people they find on these planets. They all have a god, and they all follow the same path that the humans did on Earth.
Right.
But it's just different names.
Okay.
But the same kind of strictness and stuff. But like the last god, there's a couple of instances in that of that, and the last god was Avis was the god's name. And so yeah, they were all doing these hurt jokes and stuff in front of them because they obviously didn't understand. But Avis was the god. So that is what I'm watching. John and
Avis would be like a higher power.
Avis is the higher...
But a higher car power.
Yeah. Yeah, they make all those fucking stupid puns throughout with those priests. And the priests go, huh? Because they just want to look at Avis and praise Avis. What do you watch?
At the moment, I'm addicted to the new season of Ray Donovan. It's just so dark.
I saw it's going
and
on.
Tragic. And it's just beautiful. And the last episode was... quite a big moment, but very good. I thought it was great. I loved House of Cards. It keeps ending on the most menacing, tones.
Yes.
I found this thing on Netflix called Advice Principles. Did you see that? It's just like a really sort of rude...
It's HBO. No, I haven't watched it yet.
It's quite hardcore, but funny. It's two Advice Principals who are vying... They're vying for the position of principal at a school where they've lost the principal. And it's just like... It's funny. It's very rude. But I quite like it. Like sometimes, you know, my favorite movie ever is Reno 911.
Really?
That's a good
movie. I know
movie.
It. I wouldn't say that's my favorite.
I mean, it's so ridiculous. It's so stupid. Maybe not my favorite film. It's that style. I love all that, like, kind of as real shooting docy. So Office and, you know, Christopher Guest and all of those things.
Yes, because when you see them... Okay, some of it is rehearsed improvisation, but sometimes you can see there's just that one
spark,
line.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yeah, I agree with you. Okay.
So that has a touch of that, this principle.
I can't believe it, but the show is finished.
It's unbelievable.
I still have
a whole book. Look at that whole book.
Pages. Oh my God. Wanted to ask you about Bitcoin. I wanted to ask you about the early years of man. Oh, that is
a
point.
Got a broad spectrum you've got there.
Now, the point I wanted to bring across, and I think you would understand what I'm trying to say, is that power was always seen as physical, but maybe the true heroes are the ones who don't want to fight. The people who didn't go, who had bomb shock and was killed in a firing squad because they didn't want to go back. Maybe those are the brave people.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's real bravery.
Not to fight.
Yeah.
Not to fight.
Be brave enough not to fight. I would agree with you. I think that's absolutely right.
Well, that was my point.
Well, we've shot them all, so...
We've shot them all. Those genes are gone.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Well, Galileo said the world's not flat. Straight away. Joe, rip his nuts off.
How dare you?
How dare you?
Oh, wait.
Hang
he's
on.
Right.
We're going to dig him up and glue his nuts back on. We're very sorry.
I love it. Okay, so we have to finish. So I'm going to play.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm going to tell everyone that they must go see John Flismas at Monte Cassino, really, because John Flismas is like an example to comedians as well, and like a figure they look up to. But meanwhile, he's also a comedian, so you don't get the praise you actually deserve.
Oh well, thanks, man. I get a lot of criticism from comedians, but I don't really give a fuck. So I just carry on doing what I do, as you do.
Yeah,
you just do your thing.
You just close your eyes and go on and do what you enjoy.
Absolutely,
that's very important. So I'm gonna play us out again with my Easy Fit rap, and then
I love it. It's a great piece of music.
And then maybe I will bring out a rap CD next year.
Please
maybe
do.
I'm motivated.
I'm going to pre-order it right now on iTunes.
Yeah. And Rian said I can use my characters in it, and I said, yeah, that's true. They can also,
because everyone keeps asking your characters questions about it. Bring
rap.
Them back.
Yeah,
bring
well,
them
in
back
in the rap songs. So let me see which one I'm praise. Yeah.
It was.
That's
it.
Fine. Bye bye, John.
Thank you so much for having us,
Johnny boy.
Thanks, John.
Girl.
So I got a little rap from this spiffy old chap. His wise words flow, and I do as I'm told. Proverb. Oh ho, oh ho. Proverb. Oh ho, oh ho. Proverb. A pro with a verb. Is he fit? Yeah. Is he fit? Yeah. Is he fit? Oh, a bitch inside a nerd. Camel. Let's go. Yeah. Robert is the man with a plan. He says, little money told me how to rap, and he said, you fit too. He opened up my eyes, he is wise, he is wonderful. Magic with the words, and I want to too. Proverb, oh ho, oh ho. Proverb, oh ho, oh ho. Proverb, a pro with a verb. This is fit, yeah. This is fit, yeah. This is fit, oh, a bitch inside a nerd.
CliffCentral.com